This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is June 24th, 2024. We got WWE Raw to talk to you about, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, future locations and stuff to talk about, an insane Uncle Howdy segment, new tag team champions. SmackDown was on fire last week. Raw had an incredible ending. We got Denise Salcedo here. Denise, you heading to Forbidden Door this weekend?
No, I decided not to go to Forbidden Door. It's too far. I don't feel like flying to the other side of the United States. It's too much. I'm tired. I'm old, and I work with children.
Okay. I can understand that. If there were direct flights to New York from here, I'd consider it, but...
Right. I think for me, it's a little bit harder when they do shows in New York because the hotels are so expensive The flights are so expensive and they're so long. And it's a lot harder to just like, for example, if I wanted to save money and fly in and fly out the exact same day, sometimes I could get away with doing that. I did that in St. Louis and it worked out great. But because it's New York and it's a little further, it just logistically didn't work out for me. So that's why I'm not going to Forbidden Door this year.
Yeah, I'm going there for Christmas, actually. I'm going to go to the December 26th MSG House show. That should be a lot of fun.
Oh, you said you've always wanted to go, right? This is your first time then.
Yeah, so we're going out there on Christmas Day. Then we're going to go sightsee, visit, you know, some things. Then flying back that weekend for the Bengals games. So that should be a lot of fun.
That should be nice.
I'm not going to have to take any flights to Indianapolis, thankfully, as WWE landed or announced a pretty significant agreement, the first of its kind in America. I'll be on Wish TV in Indianapolis tomorrow morning talking about it, but they announced Royal Rumble 2025 on February 1st, and then they're going to get a future WrestleMania, which they haven't had since 92, and a future two-night SummerSlam. So SummerSlam remains two nights. It won't be at least for a couple of years for either one of these, but hey, for me, I'm happy. That's less than 3 hours away. It's about 2:45 away. Denise, how are you feeling about Indianapolis? Have you ever been?
No, I don't even know how far that is. I don't even know what's there. I don't even know what the weather is. I have zero knowledge of Indiana. Well, except for my teacher. My teacher was from Indiana, and she said some like really creepy stories. Like all the creepy stories she gave us, they were from people from Indiana. And so that's like my only extent of knowledge from Indiana.
It's like within a 3 hour radius, there's Lexington, Louisville, Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, Chicago. St. Louis is about 4 hours away. So it's like sort of in the middle of everything, Fort Wayne and some smaller cities as well. But Lucas Oil Stadium is a very nice indoor stadium where the Colts play. The city is easy to navigate. A lot of walking distance stuff there as well. I'm very interested in this. Guys, I want to know what you all think. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Get your super chats and humper chats in. If you're watching here on YouTube, you can get your question or statement in by sending a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful. Today, we dropped an interview Grapsity did with Mina Shirakawa ahead of Forbidden Door. Tomorrow, I've got Evan Husney ahead of the Who Killed WCW finale. We had a great talk a few weeks ago ahead of the premiere. Now we're talking ahead of the finale. We've got Giselle Shaw on Fightful Overbooked this week as well. We've just got a ton of stuff. But get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Please share the video, like, all that stuff. You can also send in humper chats over at humperchats.com. That's H-U-M-P-E-R chats.com. Head over to my Twitter and retweet my thumbnail or my video rather, if you don't mind, get some more eyes on it. But I will also be appearing on this Friday's post-SmackDown show. I took over hosting last week's as well with Weezy, as there were some internet connections, so to speak. But we've already got some super chats, Denise. Flaming says, Sean, you missed my super chat from last Monday. Hey, that's on Luis. I wanted to tell Denise why she likes Takis. They're awful.
Give some love in there.
Hot or spicy.
Why is it so good? Are you kidding me? Takis are so good. Have you ever tried them, Sean?
I have. And if you drink Takis or you eat Takis, I assume that you drink Mountain Dew as well.
No. I like Mountain Dew, but I hardly have Mountain Dew. What's wrong with Mountain Dew?
Not surprised.
Are you judging me?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Girl, I should be judging you.
Why?
You eat leather.
No, I don't.
And you're mad at me because I have Takis and Mountain Dew.
In fact, I'm living it up, bro. In fact, the whole thing was that I don't eat leather.
No, you do eat leather.
That was the whole point. I eat fruit leathers for sure. No, those are delicious. Have you ever had fruit leathers?
Yeah, I've had those back in the day.
They're very good. They're so good. I didn't know they were a thing back in the day.
Yeah, I used to get them at the grocery store. They used to have them for 80 cents a little per like stick back in the day when things were less than a dollar. And now nothing's under a dollar. You can't even get a little bag of Cheetos for a dollar anymore.
Nope.
No, like remember those little mini ones where you used to get like four for a dollar? Now you can't even do that anymore. Those are like $1.25 now.
Yeah, it's not
good. Or maybe even $1.89. I'm losing touch, Sean.
Back in my day. Back in my day, the day of VHS is you could get a Faygo soda for a quarter at a pop machine.
I don't know what a Faygo soda is.
You've never had Faygo soda?
I've never heard of it. What is Faygo?
Not a big Insane Clown Posse fan, I assume.
I know one song, the F the World song. I do like that song. When I'm angry, that's the song that I bump on the radio.
You've probably like accidentally heard a few just because of wrestling and don't realize it.
Oh,
but
probably.
They embraced Faygo drinks. And listen, Moon Mist is legitimately delicious. It's like Sprite and Mountain Dew mixed together. It is incredible.
No idea what that is either.
Greatly miss Moon Mist. Oh, it's so good. If I could find some around here, I would be very, very happy. But anyway, I was able to find glass bottle Pepsi. Do you know the only place I could find that at here?
Yeah, you told me, the Mexican store.
Yeah, the only place that had it. And it was delicious. Let me tell you, I was wired. Mexican soda is a different animal than what I am used to.
You should have gotten some Takis. Ooh, you would have had a bomb night. A Mexican soda with some Takis. Ooh.
Good.
You would have been living large.
My God.
But guys, these aren't my favorites, though. My favorites are still hot Cheeto fries. Those are my favorites. I know.
Guys, don't forget, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It's the best $5 in pro wrestling. Right now, we got Alex and Kate's Sour Graps. We had the Raw plans, a bunch of details about Raw as well. We had the Select Portions update with stuff about Brooks Jensen, Lana Austin, Rob Drake. A lot of UK news over there today, an update on Rhea Ripley and more on Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, WrestleMania, as well as the Mina Shirakawa notes. We had like dozens of stories last week, an insane amount. So just go ahead, give it a go, give it a shot. Let's go ahead and talk WWE Raw. We want to know what you guys think. Everybody asking about Pat McAfee. Tricky saying Pat was at my mom's house. He was busy. Ryan says, where the heck is McAfee? I don't have an answer on where he was. I don't know if he was selling something. Cause he did his show today in Indianapolis. Triple H and Michael Cole were on it, Denise.
I don't know. Maybe he was just really busy, but I feel like he's always really busy, but that's also his job. But so I don't know.
In his hometown of all the places, he doesn't have to take the plane there.
Maybe he just wanted an evening at home. Maybe he had some Takis and a Pepsi and he had to stay home for other reasons.
That is what will happen. That's a lot of terrible things will happen there. KE775 says little OT, but have you heard if they will replace Kayla internally and in parentheses Sarah Shriver, or will they go outside the company? Yeah, I would imagine Sarah will get more reps there. I mean, they clearly wanted to use Kathy Kelly in a more prominent role. Fightful Select had heard like a couple weeks ago, when we had said that there was somebody working on a verbal agreement, that was Kayla. People in AEW had actually heard about her being a free agent, and word had kind of leaked out there. I reached out to Kayla and WWE, and both said as of that point, still with WWE, And then I reached out to her Friday, actually before she made the announcement, didn't hear back, but she revealed on Saturday, Denise, she's going to be moving on. She claims she's not going to any other wrestling company because she said she's leaving WWE. She wouldn't leave there if she was looking to stay into wrestling. How are you feeling about Kayla moving on? I mean, she's been really good for them.
She has been great for them. She has been in every single role possible, digital, backstage interviewer, lead host, all of that. She has done so much. So it is going to be weird not having Kayla on the show, but I do feel like there are so many backstage interviewers that are just, I feel like they're starting to take like this new wave of backstage interviewers that we're starting to see, because if you kind of notice every couple of years, certain people, they either get phased out or they go in a different direction or they leave, whatever. Everybody has a little bit of a different story. And right now it kind of feels like the two main people are Jackie and Kathy. And it kind of feels like those are your two main female hosts at the moment. And so I almost feel like that was just maybe a natural progression. I don't know. And I think I started to realize that there was going to be a shift in who they were presenting when I saw a couple, I don't remember when they started to do this or which PLE it was, but there was a PLE where they started where Kayla was the lead host, but they brought on Jackie as an analyst. And at first I thought, hell yeah, that's freaking cool, because it's usually always the dudes as analysts and it's never women as analysts. So I thought that was very cool. But now I'm starting to think that maybe that may have been a start to where we're going to see. Oh, and I think right after that, Jackie did start taking over the pre-shows, right? Because I haven't seen the pre-shows in a while. So there you go. I think that was sort of the big sign where when you have somebody else sort of taking over, all of a sudden, you know, I can imagine that at least that would probably make me start to look at some other options if you're no longer doing the role that you were probably, that you were doing before. It's going to make you want to look elsewhere. And so that's just, I don't know, in hindsight, kind of looking at that, I think I'm starting to see where things started to change. But anyways, Kayla came from news and then went into WWE, so she can kind of go in any direction, but she did have the news
years, eight right years she's been there. Yeah,
right. So she does have that news background. Now she has the entertainment and the sports with WWE, so she can kind of jump into whatever sector I imagine that she wants to, whether it's news or entertainment or sports or whatever, lifestyle, who knows.
Yeah, I'm sure she's going to be very, very successful in anything she does. I hear nothing but good things about her. J.K. Schwall says, fired up for Indy since Minnesota got screwed and Chicago can't figure out their dome situation. Fired up for a four-hour drive to Indy for my first Rumble. Immediately booked a hotel. I did too. I'm already booked there.
I haven't even booked Cleveland. I haven't done anything.
I have no idea if I have either, and I probably need to do that.
That's
that
my new thing
it.
Now, Sean. I'm booking everything last minute because I've come to the conclusion after doing this for years that it almost doesn't matter if I do it 8 months in advance or if I do it right up to the date. Everything is so god darn expensive that either way, like, you'll find something. It did worry me, though. Did you see, by the way, in somewhere I saw that one of the things that, I mean, God, how do I phrase this? Does Indiana have enough like hotels for people? Because I had seen that.
They
somewhere.
That
was a concern. I read that somewhere that was a concern.
No. By who? They hosted a Super Bowl.
It was like a very quickly thing. I don't know. I saw it somewhere. No, like the best weekend to like have like the most availability for hotel rooms and stuff. I saw that. And then I thought to myself, oh, maybe I should book Indiana first.
Listen. They hosted a Super Bowl 12 years ago, and they've only grown since then. They'll be fine. They will absolutely be fine.
Watch, Sean, if I don't have a hotel room, and you're telling me we're going to be fine, if I don't have a hotel room, I'm going to blame you.
You can stay in Kentucky. There you go.
Bro, no thanks. Are you going to try to get me to go to Kentucky?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Are you
going to
pay for me? Are you going to pay for my hotel and
flight? Anyway, fans, if you love wrestling... Wow. If you love wrestling, check out our friends at the No Shave Man Cave podcast, hosted by Jason Tilson and Jared Ellis, two passionate wrestling enthusiasts who dive deep into the world of pro wrestling. Each week, Jason and Jared bring you in-depth analysis of current wrestling matches, events, explore the history of titles, and share their unique perspective as fans. In addition to engaging discussions, insider insights, and a whole lot of wrestling love, they host watch-alongs with special guests, and they have interviews with top talent, including one coming up with Thunder Rosa, who joined for a special episode about mental health awareness just this upcoming Saturday. There's something for everyone at the No Shave Man Cave, so be sure to subscribe to them on YouTube and your favorite podcast platforms, and keep an eye out for more interviews with world-class talent. So No Shave Man Cave, good friend of Fightful. And so is Thunder Rosa, who I joined on Busted Open this past week.
Yeah, I heard that in order to get on the show, you had to come on and talk shit about me. And by the way, all the things you said were wrong.
I was invited. No, I wasn't.
Like, how do you know? Like, this is what surprises me, that you've known me now for about 5 years and you couldn't come up with any good dirt on me.
It wasn't dirt. It was how to get under your skin. And I can get under your skin. It's very easy to get under your skin. And look, here's the tell. Denise is selling so hard.
No, I'm super zen.
Denise knows that she sells out super hard. So now she's overcompensating and not reacting at all to try to be like, look at me, guys. I'm not bothered at all. Not me. Not really. Actually,
Ron, you've known me now for 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years. That's expecting some good, like, this is how you can get under Denise's skin. Mm-hmm. I'm ashamed.
It's very good. It's very good. Denise, I got you to flip out over the step host thing. Flip.
That was
out.
Like 5 years ago.
It wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
And I don't think that's flipping out.
It was November 2021. It was less than 3 years ago. It was 2.5 years ago. Wrong
Can
again,
we talk
Denise.
About Raw?
Dante says, can't believe Denise is...
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Talking about leather after that leather party tweet.
Hey, watch out. My parties are going to be a hit. They're going to be a hit. Watch when I throw my leather parties. Watch. You're going to be so jealous of my leather parties. What?
What the fuck?
Hey, don't be mad because I took your gimmick and made it into something.
By all means, throw your leather party, Denise. No
yeah,
competition.
And you're not
going
to get an invite because you're not cool enough to be at my leather party.
You know what? I would have to RSVP no on that one anyway. What are you doing, Step Leather?
That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even make sense, Sean. Can we talk about Raw? Let's talk about Raw. Hello?
WWE Monday Night Raw for June 24th, 2024. Man, this had a lot to it. CC Bonbon says, why is WWE so reliant on Cole for everything? Because he's real good, brother. Real good. That's why. Frankie says, any matches for this week's SmackDown? I'm there. I don't know if they've announced any. Luis will let us know if so. But what we got to kick off the show was Drew McIntyre cutting a promo. He comes out, talks about CM Punk, how he beat him, battered him in his hometown. And he says that he's declaring for Money in the Bank. Among the things that he said was that CM Punk prevented him from taking home the world championship, something that he promised to his sick wife. And he said, you guys still cheer him. And if you cheer him, you're dead to me. He also pointed out that he took a friendship bracelet that a fan made, had AJ and Larry's name on it, Larry being his dog. And he called him, your stupid looking dog. And I took this just because I could, just because I knew it would bother you, just because I knew it would get under your skin, because that's how you stay close to them when you were gone. Crowd did chant Larry, and later on, Drew McIntyre approaches Adam Pearce, and Adam Pearce is like, what makes you think you deserve that? And Drew, again, has fantastic points, Denise. he said, oh, I'm sorry. Did Seth Rollins deserve a title shot after he's been gone 3 months and I beat him the last time that you saw him? Did CM Punk deserve to be able to go grab a referee shirt from one of your officials and screw up the main event of a PLE? Drew continues to be right, Denise. He's right.
Between Drew McIntyre and Bron Breakker, they are really, really just knocking down Adam Pearce a couple of pegs for me as general manager. Why is he coming out two times? I know we're not talking about this right now, but even with the Bron Breakker stuff, when he opened the door, he was like, why are you so mad? Are you not watching the show that you're the general manager of? Anyway, sorry, I'm jumping ahead here. But in regards to Drew McIntyre, I'm actually glad that he said that he's going to be in the in a qualifier for the Money in the Bank, which they announced afterwards. And dude, I cannot believe that we're going to be seeing this triple threat with Sheamus, Drew, and Ilya. I feel like they need to make that one. That needs to be the main event, or either the opening match of Raw next week. Someone said that one needs to go like no commercial breaks. Just let them go at least 20 minutes, because if I get anything less than the match that I want, I am going to be very, very disappointed. I am going into this expecting to get a full course meal with this match. I need this match to be, I need it to meet my expectations as a fan, because I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm liking the way that this is going. I like that this was very clear. He came out, he's pissed, he's makes his intentions clear for the Money in the Bank. I thought that was really great. But the thing with Drew and CM Punk, Sean, is that I feel like everyone is sort of conflicted. Like, there's moments where you're rooting for CM Punk. There's moments where you're rooting for Drew McIntyre. This almost doesn't feel clear-cut babyface heel. To some, they may see it as clear-cut babyface versus heel. But I feel like both guys have sort of toned the line where one second I'm looking at Drew and I'm like, he's sort of a babyface to me. And then the next, he's a heel. And I like it, because that's real life in a way. In a way, sometimes you're going to see an argument between two people that are both wrong and both right. And that's sort of how I'm seeing this Drew CM Punk thing. And I'm just happy that we got Larry Chance. And that part, he was a heel. I don't need Larry catching strays at all in any of this. So, yeah, this was good.
Yeah. Ilya was originally announced as taking Chad Gable's place. They pulled him, put Gable back in. That's interesting. I'm going to try to find out what went into that, because at some point they had to have considered that. Dante says, happy pride, you all. And indeed, happy pride, everybody. CC Bonbon says, Denise didn't sell out. She sold in. Okay.
What's the
deal? I don't know. Brandon Will Win says, would you rather be a nobody in WWE and get a main event title match in TNA, or be a main event guy in TNA and get an opening match on a WWE PLE? I'd probably rather be a nobody in WWE, because I like money and I want to take care of my family, and that pays more.
I'm going to go with the latter, because I don't want to be a nobody. I always want to be a somebody no matter where I'm at.
It's fair. Nell says, Ayo, leather party. Denise, can I ask, do you put your leather in the washing machine, and do you ever get stuck in there when you do put it in the washing machine?
I only have leather pants, and I don't even think it's like real leather.
So have you ever gotten stuck in the washing machine trying to wash them?
I've never been in the washing machine with my leather pants. How would I get stuck with them?
Like, when you lean in there and you put your stuff in there, you get it out, and you just get stuck.
No.
It's very common.
No, it's not. Common. There's a lot of... I put the clothes in, I wash it, I take it out, and I put it back where it goes.
It is super common. There are literally hundreds of videos about it. So, like,
no, this is not one of my concerns in life.
If you have concerns that somebody might find out that you're watching something like that, there is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Brittany Turbo says, hey, y'all, watch Denise's interview with Jacob Fatu. He seems so nice and humble and won't be a long-term heel. He's holding his place till Roman comes back. Wish AEW would push Wardlow by the way they WWE push Breaker. I think Braun's physical gifts are on a different level than Wardlow's, even though Wardlow's are impressive, and Braun is also much younger. Denise, I saw your interview with Jacob Fatu blew up after his debut. That is a rarity in what we do to have something blow up like that far afterwards. And I got to agree with what that woman said. Like he is as nice as he appears. He is simultaneously the most scary and kind person.
He is. And I remember, God, I had been trying to get an interview with him months before that. I kept trying. Yeah. I kept hitting their PR person. I was like, I really want an interview with Fatu. I really want an interview with Fatu. But there was always just something that whatever got in the way,
he's
right?
Got like seven kids. It's hard for him to do
it. I know. But whenever like MLW offered any media, they always told me, who from the roster do you want? He was on the roster, so of course I was going to say Fatu. And so every time MLW PR came to me saying, who do you want? I said Fatu. And every time it didn't work out, right? So then finally I go to that Wrestling Revolver event in Los Angeles, and I remember it was one of those things where it was like, oh, whoever you can get backstage does an interview. Okay, great. And I remember seeing Fatu, and I had ring announced him a couple of times in GCW. So I knew that he was a nice guy based off of that. But even then, I was still a little nervous because he's very like intimidating, right? Like you think like, oh my God, like I don't really want to go up to him and bother him and be like, hey, do you want to do an interview? So I don't even remember what happened or how, if I asked him or if the PR guy asked him, but he came up and he was like, yeah, like let's do it. And I was like, oh my God, he is so nice. And instantly I felt this like huge relief. So when you're watching the interview, I literally feel like I'm so comfortable being able to talk to him. And cause he's so comfortable back and just so nice. And so it really just like, you know how you, Sean, when you do interviews, like the vibe of the person and your vibe really is what makes the interview and what you're going to be able to get out of that interview. And so when I first posted that interview, it only got up to like 4,000 views. And then after all of this, it has skyrocketed over 70,000. And that's just like on YouTube, but there's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, all of the other apps. So it's been really cool. And I'm very thankful that I was able to do that interview back last year in November.
Blew up for her. Make sure you guys check that out. It's very, very good stuff. The match is announced for SmackDown. Logan Paul, LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Money in the Bank qualifier. Naomi, Blair Davenport, Indy Hartwell qualifier. Candice LeRae, Jade, and Tiffany Stratton, Money in the Bank qualifier. And Jacob Fatu acknowledgement ceremony. It was also announced that a 6-man tag would be happening at Money in the Bank. Jacob Fatu is on the graphic, but there's like 4 people listed on that side. Now, Jacob Fatu had not been able to work outside the country because of a criminal history that he had mentioned himself back when he was 18, which I'm told WWE has no concerns about anymore. In our Fightful Select report, we had reported that he had just positive interactions upon joining WWE a couple months ago, made really good impressions. Unfortunately, he can't change what happened previously, but that did keep him from wrestling outside the U.S., which he would have been in huge demand from New Japan and other places. But maybe they've got it rectified, or maybe they'll get creative with it. You know what I mean? They're TBD. Elite Biscuit says, is Pat locked in the Wyatt's basement as we speak? I am asking about Pat McAfee. Just so you all know, I'm asking. I'll see if they were told anything. I haven't heard anything yet. Stephen Harden said, Drew's promo was awesome tonight. Do you see Punk being kept off TV till closer to SummerSlam? Any word if Punk hasn't been cleared? Thank you for making these Raw shows so fun. Well, thank you for caring, and thank you for the generous super chat. No, he's not. That's why they were very creative with what they did on SmackDown. I love this type of thing. Like, that's even the thing I like in horror movies. I don't need to see the knife go in Denise. I can see what happened afterwards. It's the old Alfred Hitchcock. You see the aftermath. You see the implication of it. And that's what they did. I'll say this, though. They got to get a better blood guy. Whoever's been doing their blood lately is real bad at it.
It's cherry red, right? And like, no one has cherry red blood. Everybody has like dark maroon blood, right?
It's, I don't know, but it's bad. The Chad Gable thing looked bad. The CM Punk thing looked bad. Cody's looked bad. I'm like, I get it if you don't want to use real blood. That's okay with me. That's fine. Listen, if you want to fake thumbtacks and barbed wire, I don't care. It's a show. Fake it by all means. But get something that looks better.
Yeah, this just looks too red to me. It looks too fake. And I just pretend. I'm like, maybe he just has special blood.
Brittany says, pretty sure that friendship bracelet that Drew stole from Punk came from a YouTube kid with Down syndrome. He stopped to say hello to in the front row in Chicago. That's so messed up. Ooh, that's good heat, Brittany Boyd. That's good heat. And also, Brittany Boyd, thank you for using the Humper Chats option. We greatly appreciate that. I have just loved this story, Denise. They play off of each other. And somebody said, do you think that Punk will be off TV closer to SummerSlam? No, I don't. I think wherever Drew can stand to benefit from anything in life, CM Punk will be there to screw him over. He will screw Drew out of either the qualifier or the match itself.
I think it's got to be the match itself. Because yeah. If not, what else is Drew going to be doing for Money in the Bank? I think he's got to be in the Money in the Bank. If he's going to screw him, it has to be then, because it has to be when it matters. And also, if he doesn't do it on Raw next week, you're still telling the story that he's healing from the beatdown, from the attack that happened on SmackDown. So, yeah, I do say hold up until Money in the Bank to cost it to him there.
KE775 says, Sean, any Natalya contract update? Do you think she'll be a free agent? I posted on the FightfulSelect.com Discord this past week that she had not signed a new deal yet. I am expecting her to sign one, though. And Last Ride says, is WWE aware about the disappointment of Cody Solo possibly being the main event of SummerSlam? I believe what they will do is assess that as they get closer to the show and deem what is the hottest match. Like, there's a possibility it could be Liv and Rhea if all things go well. Punk and Drew. There's a lot of Gunther and Seth Rollins, which we're going to talk about shortly. There's a lot of options. I wouldn't.
Or Gunther, Damian Priest.
But we got Braun Breaker defeating Ludwig Kaiser. And unfortunately, another thing we reported on FightfulSelect.com and my Twitter, there's concern backstage that Ludwig Kaiser is injured. Now,
coming off of tonight?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Now,
off of what spot?
I don't know what spot. There was just concern there. Sheamus interfered in this match and cracked Ludwig Kaiser with a big knee, but the match was cooking. Braun Breaker is so over. The dogs are barking. He's jumping all over the place. He's doing incredible physical feats. Denise, he is so clearly the guy. And it's been a while, maybe somebody's slipping my mind, since they've had a guy in his early to mid-20s that is so very clearly the guy, because people peak so much later these days in wrestling. And not only is he the guy, I think Ludwig Kaiser's kicking ass too. You got The Undertaker out here on his interview with Chris Van Vliet saying, oh yeah, I look at Ludwig Kaiser as a future main eventer as a heel, and had some good advice for him. He said that he should grow one of those big twirly mustaches as well.
Which can he?
Also,
can he grow one?
Do a fake one.
No, Sean. There's nothing worse than fake facial hair. Come on.
Fake blood, too.
If he could even, like, whatever he can grow. Like, let's just take whatever he can grow.
Oh,
but he's
man.
So like clean cut, though, that almost kind of makes you want to hate him a little bit more, because he's so clean cut and perfect and polished, and you're like, ugh, slap an imperfection on you, please.
This was good stuff. Sheamus laying out Kaiser. So it caused Braun Breaker to lose via DQ, and later on in the show, you'll hear me complain about people getting title shots off of losses. However, I don't mind this with Bron Breakker, because later on he goes up to Adam Pearce and he's like, I'm tired of people getting in my business. He's like, I'm sick of it. And last week we saw him take care of it. And Sami Zayn approaches him and says, title match whenever you want it. Bron says, bet, money in the bank, and they make it official. I don't have a problem with Bron Breakker getting a title shot off of a loss, because he had a point. He was right. Everybody keeps getting into his business. He was in control of these matches. He should not be screwed over for that. And Sammy sort of made the challenge there. So I especially don't mind it when the champion makes the challenge. What did you think of this whole situation? Ludwig Kaiser, Bron Breakker, Sheamus, Sami Zayn.
All right, so the match itself, loved it. I was happy to see Bron Breakker redeem himself with the Frankensteiner, because it was last week that unfortunately he had that slip up. And this time you knew it. You can tell after he hit it, he was like, fuck yeah, like, and all you people that were talking about it, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, just everything that he did there, because he sort of goes in and kind of does a lot of what we've seen in some of his other matches. He does the bit where he runs the ropes. He does the shoulder tackle. He did that clothesline off the ring apron to Ludwig on the commentary table. That was another cool little feat that he did there. So he was handling business in the match itself. When Sheamus came through, I was dying. I was dying, because did you notice Ludwig Kaiser's run? He had this funny run where he was running like this. If you go back and you watch it, because he was almost trying to, it looked like he was trying to mock Bron Breakker and trying to do a similar thing where he runs around the ring and then hits with like a spear or whatever. And so it seemed like that's what Ludwig Kaiser was going to do. So he has this really funny run. And then out of nowhere, when Sheamus comes in and kicks him in the head, it was perfect, because I wasn't really expecting Sheamus in that particular moment. And so that was good. Sheamus did struggle a little bit to pick him up when he was going to set him up for a powerbomb, but I did like that out of nowhere it turned into Bron Breakker coming in and spearing Sheamus and knocking them down. I thought that was a cool visual too. Again, just sort of going back to what I had said earlier about Adam Pearce, I did not like that he was all clueless as to why Bron Breakker was pissed. Like, I'm starting to think he hates Bron Breakker. I'm like, do you have a problem with Bron Breakker?
Yeah.
Because that's sort of the vibe that I'm getting here. This has been happening now for weeks, and it doesn't make sense.
I mean, I'd like there to be a reason. I would love it if it was revealed, like, you know, the reason I didn't like you is because you, after all I offered you, you did sign with Nick Aldis, so I made sure to get you back. Because I like that competition between those two as well. Apex Caliber says he needs Lesnar-type booking. I mean, you can't do the same thing. You can't do the same thing. Malik says, I want to say Bron Breakker is that guy. Drew Sheamus Elia got me making Tama Tonga noises. Well, I want to say get well soon to Ludwig Kaiser, assuming he is hurt, assuming that is true. But I just think Bron Breakker is so clearly big guy in the future, and Ludwig Kaiser impressing every single week as well. Gary says Larry biting Drew's ankle while he tries to climb the ladder would be a good pop.
Wait, who biting whose ankle?
Larry, the dog.
Biting Drew. Yes. I'm sure if you get like one of those dog trainers that like train like acting dogs, those actor dogs,
yes,
you could probably make it work. They could probably train Larry to do a little spot. I mean, he's been in a bra. We got to give Larry some street cred. He's been in a bra. He's earned his street cred.
Flaming says, why is it when a wrestler leaves a company, everyone says they're going here or there? What if they just want to stay home and recover, relax with a pet? Not everyone's off to AEW or WWE. My friend, if you have ever listened to our show, that is something that I say every time somebody's contract could be up. You do not know their priorities, especially artists, millionaires, and parents. They've got completely different sets of priorities than anybody else. You don't know what they might want. I've heard Becky Lynch is really enjoying her time off, and a lot of people were like, oh, well, she would sign immediately. That woman could have signed, taken her time off, and made six figures sitting at home with no obligations. WWE would have loved to have just locked her down.
Different priorities. I think we just forget, Sean, because when you think about, like, for me, for example, if I'm out of one job, oh, hell no. Like, I got to get up and work or else I'm not going to have a roof over my head. We don't have the luxury of staying at home and not doing anything. But again, these people have millions of dollars and can stay home and enjoy it for a minute.
We've got Lyra defeating Shayna and Kairi. KE775 says, I thought Kairi looked great in her Money in the Bank qualifying match. Hopefully she can build on this with WWE needing some star power in Raw's women's division. Lyra getting a big win. The push has resumed a little bit. I had mentioned this a while back. I thought they came on a little strong with her. She did lose a big match, and that's okay because she's being put in a prime position here in a match where you're going to be prominently featured, but you don't have to take a loss or anything like that. They clearly see her as someone good. I love the finish in this match as well. How did you feel about what you saw here?
Yeah, I don't think that they went too fast with her in the beginning. I like the way that they started presenting Lyra right away, and you know, her making it into the finals, getting squashed like a pancake by Nia Jax, which was insane. We didn't talk enough about giving Lyra her flowers for that, man, because she took it like a champ. She did great. But anyway, so this match itself, though, I thought Kairi was phenomenal in it. She was probably the standout for me in the match itself. But Lyra, of course, getting her win, I thought all of that was good. I'm liking the way the women's Money in the Bank is shaping up now with Chelsea and Io and Lyra. I had gone into it still expecting Tiffany to win, but until obviously all of the girls are in, it's sort of looking like it could really be anybody's briefcase right now.
I agree. I thought that Lyra had exactly the kind of performance she should. You know, Shayna we knew she wasn't going to win this, but Kairi had a really, really good performance as well. Chad Gable shown getting out of his vehicle. He does not want to talk to cameras. Adam Pearce says, you know, I don't know if he is going to want to discuss that or if he's in the frame of mind, but he's cleared. Triple H said, guys, he did not die last week, contrary to what some people believed.
They just let us all believe that. Like the whole entire internet was thinking that.
Well, he's not dead. And Chad Gable says, he cannot be killed.
Is he a cat with 9 lives?
Oh,
he's
man.
On his, well, what would this be now? His second life? Or, yeah, his second
probably.
Life now. Yeah.
Well, he defeated Bronson Reed with a beautiful moonsault. I love that the moonsault got the win. But Braun Strowman ended up getting beaten down by Judgment Day. Tony says, what happened with Strowman getting caught up in the ropes? Looked bad. Go ahead, Denise.
Oh, no, I was listening to that. I was agreeing with that. I feel like there's been some moments that have been a little rusty for Braun lately. I've noticed it in the last match from last week and then this week again. And I was like, oh, something's a little off with Braun Strowman. It was last week. He was giving a headbutt and I hated it because he did the headbutt, right? But it was so yes. Noticeably like 4 miles apart. And so it was one of those things where you're like, I kind of hate that I saw that. Like, why did I see that? Let me erase that from my eyeballs. And so this time it was unfortunately him getting caught up in the ropes. And then there was he was doing the running like shoulder tackle on Bronson Reed and like barely touched Bronson Reed and Bronson Reed sold it. That was another one. Then him not catching Gable, That was another moment. It's just, I've been noticing this too much and I'm trying not to, but it's hard.
And he had an extended period off. I think he's probably still got some rust and all that stuff. But it was a scary looking spot. It looked like he broke the damn rope with his head.
Side of the ring. The last couple of weeks, that was where we saw Damian. That was where we saw Braun. Now, the other Braun, Braun Strowman. You know what I'm saying? It's too much happening on that side.
Yeah, Chad Gable gets the win. And Denise, it played out almost exactly as I said it would.
What did?
Chad Gable goes backstage to meet with Otis. And it's a little bit different. I thought Otis might be like, you know what? I should have been there for you. And there's still time for that. But Chad Gable was like, listen, I'm not going to say what happened last week, but my life flashed before my eyes. I realize I've been a jerk and I needed to apologize to you guys about this. And Otis is like, you hurt me, you hurt us, and he wasn't buying it. Maxine was buying it a little more, and she's like, listen, you bothered him, you hurt him, I'll talk to him, I'll see what we can get. It's kind of hard to put the genie back in the bottle there and then redo this, because, like, I don't know, I feel kind of bad for Gable, because he almost got murdered last week, and I feel like that sympathy should be more on Otis This is a wait and see for me. I don't know how I'm feeling about this yet. I'm interested. But before we get to what happened afterwards and who showed up, which I also predicted, what did you think about Gable's words to Otis and Maxine and Tozawa?
I got to be honest with you. This whole time I kept thinking about Christina Aguilera's Genie in the Bottle the second you mentioned it. So I was trying to find a way to incorporate it into what I was about to say. And then when the moment came, I choked and I had nothing. I was about to say, well, never mind. I don't even remember what I was going to say. Anyways, I get what you're saying with this.
Yes.
Because, Sean, I'm conflicted here. It was so clear that Chad Gable was the villain, right? The last couple of weeks, he's been the biggest jerk to his friends. He's the villain. However, Otis today, after what Chad Gable went through last week, he didn't really seem to care. And that kind of bothered me a little bit. I thought, dude, that was your friend. But I get what Chad Gable did. But I also feel like Chad Gable got his karma back. And so it made me conflicted here where I thought, I understand where Otis is coming from. Trust me, I get it. But I almost feel like I feel bad for Chad Gable. And then the second he turned around and went to the Creeds, I was like, yes, this is even better. Cool. I'm good with Otis not forgiving him so that we can go and see what we can get from Chad Gable and the Creeds and Ivy Nile.
Oh, not just the Creeds. Ivy Nile as well. I think this would be very, very good for her. Alba and Isla defeated Katana and Caden, and then Damage Control attacked the Unholy Union. Alba and Isla getting a win. Sure. I'd like to see Damage Control get some wins as a tag team as well. I don't have a problem with Caden and Katana losing here as well. Alba and Isla didn't win anything for a very long time until they got the titles. This is going to be another point that I bring up later. I am so sick of people not winning matches and then just being put in a title matches. It's become an epidemic in WWE. Title shots off of losses, and people will say, "Why don't you complain when AEW does it?" I do all the time. Complain when it happens in TNA. Complains when it happens in WWE. I don't like it. But Alba and Isla are making the most out of what they can do. I like their double teamwork here, of which I've not seen much of in the last year because they're barely on the show. But how'd you feel about this?
I'm going to keep this the way they kept this match, short and sweet.
Very, very clever. Very clever. Juan Ortega says, Forbidden Door Week, Panthers W, great birthday today. Well, happy birthday to you. And I might be able to send you home with some extra birthday money thanks to BetOnline AG. We're going to have lines for Forbidden Door this week on our underdog lock picks. In pro wrestling, we are 9-9 since February. And there were some underdogs that won the last show. What was that? Clash at the Castle? I didn't have any lock picks, but all my predictions on our Discord did hit. Check it out. BetOnline AG. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They've got the highest credit card acceptance, the fastest payouts in a safe and secure online environment. And a lot of you are like, I didn't even know I could bet on wrestling. How is that possible? Beats me, but it is, and we're going to help you win money. And not only that, you can compare their competitors. They've been trusted by millions. They got a great VIP rewards program, and it's not just betting on wrestling. It's baseball, MMA, boxing, soccer, hockey, anything you can think of over at BetOnline AG, and they got a lot of great games. There's a 50% welcome bonus up to $1,000. Oh, man. BetOnline AG. Wonder if Jimmy lost his ass on the Edmonton Oilers. Probably depressed. Unreal. Flame Inc. says, more Joe Hendry in WWE. That pop in NXT was chef's kiss. They should have done more with him this week.
Yeah, they should have, honestly.
Jared says, I did like the Otis Gable segment. Everyone acted like more humans than wrestlers. Otis is still hurt. Maxine still wanted peace. It all felt very real. I would have loved it if Otis said, I was very worried about you last week, but you were the reason that I wasn't there to protect you. He can be realistic and remorseful about it as well, but he knows that if had that not happened, he would have been there for Gable.
I would have been like, karma, bitch, bye.
We got Damian Priest and a Seth Rollins promo. Some interesting stakes here. And Jess Marquise says, love Seth's Cruella de Vil fit inspired tonight. And oh boy, the side bet that Seth Rollins made. Looks like we got ourselves a bet. He says, watching another teen movie, Denise.
I haven't seen that in forever.
Go watch it. It's not the one.
Oh, sorry, I was confusing it with John Tucker Must Die for some reason.
No,
I haven't seen. I don't think I've never seen Not Another Teen Movie. I was confusing it with John Tucker Must Die.
You need to watch it. But Seth Rollins says, if I don't win the title, I'll never challenge for it again. And if you lose, we'll see if you can stand on your own because you have to leave the Judgment Day. So I see this playing out as Seth Rollins winning, because I can't imagine a world where they don't have him challenge for the title. And the Judgment Day implosion is something I kind of see developing towards SummerSlam, because that's a whole story in its own. We're going to talk about, I mean, we can also mention Gunther came out. Big man is back. It's great. We didn't really need him on TV the last few weeks, as you had mentioned last week. He didn't have a lot of purpose there. Now he's got a purpose there, because what Gunther is doing is saying, hey guys, just after you've made this little bet, you got to deal with me. So even if you win, you also lose. I thought this was really, really fantastic stuff. And Seth Rollins was playing off of people not buying Damian Priest as a world champion, but he did it in a kayfabe perspective, Denise. There are a lot of people that are like, oh, don't see him as a main eventer, yada, yada. Seth Rollins was saying that, but he was playing it off of, you need Judgment Day, you need a crutch, etc. I thought this was all very cleverly done.
I thought it was interesting, by the way, that Damian Priest said that the Judgment Day needed him more than he needed them. And I'm thinking, oh, did your friends hear that? That's got to play into something at some point, yeah. Because I think that's them planting seeds, because you just don't go out and say that. You just don't, sure. Right? And so I thought that part of it was interesting. I'm glad that they added this additional little bet to it. It just gives it a little bit more a little bit more reason to wonder, hey, what's really going to happen? Because I feel like you and I, we broke this match down last week, and you and I were on different pages in terms of who we think is coming out on top. And I feel like this really is sort of a toss up here. I feel like there are good cases to be made for Seth Rollins and good cases to be made for Damian Priest going over in this match. And I like that. I like that going into Money in the Bank, I'm not entirely sure what is going to go down here. In regards to Gunther, that was my favorite part, because he came out exactly at the right moment. Like you said, it was all about, hey, yes, you guys have this going on, but reminder, like you said, I'm next. So you guys can celebrate for 1 minute, but that's going to end very quickly, because then you're going to become my problem. And I really, really enjoyed that. And I like how he said that whoever goes up against him is going to be seen as lesser than. They're not going to be seen as the same kind of man that he's seen as. And I thought that was good. He came out, he was respectable, and he was menacing and threatening all in one. So this was good.
I agree. I agree. Also, to clarify, Seth said, as long as Damian is champion, he won't challenge again, which a little bit more plausible. Karrion Kross defeated Kofi Kingston thanks to a distraction from Final Testament, who were whooping Xavier's ass backstage. Listen, Karrion Kross looks like $1 million right now. He looks great. He's in incredible shape. I've always thought that his like sort of shit-stirring, Sean O'Hare-ish type of gimmick can work. I know that a lot of people have preconceived notions of him. I like the dude. I think that he's underrated compared to what, not compared to his NXT push, but compared to his perception online. This one do anything for you?
I liked the backstage attack. I think that this was something that they needed to implement a lot sooner with the Final Testament, because they are supposed to be a threatening group, and not yet have they seemed threatening at all. So I thought that the backstage attack was something that the group definitely needed, just to give them a little bit of a leg up. But that was sort of about it. That was really the only thing that I thought was good during this whole thing.
We've got Tony saying, so Seth versus Gunther for SummerSlam is about to be the match since they telegraphed the hell out of Finn or someone from JD going to screw him when he said that JD needs him line or Judgment Day needs him line. Yeah, I think that they set the stage there. Definitely. Crazy 101 says, if Jacob wrestles at Money in the Bank, how is that possible? Time and WWE can manage to make a lot of different things work. Well, oh my gosh, this thing that we saw. After the Chad Gable match, smoke fills the ring, and we see Nikki Cross emerge, and she takes a package out, which both us and WrestleVotes had put out early in the show that they would deliver something or integrate something with commentary. They take something that was actually addressed to Pat, who was not there. And to me, that's not an accident. If it was directed at Pat and they've had little Wyatt spots on his show, Michael Cole opens it. It's a VHS that says, play me. And oh God, it just hits you right in the heart when he says, kids, for those of you who don't know, a VHS is very old. They had to find a VCR, Denise.
I haven't seen a VCR in a very long time. Did you ever have the little car where you put the VHS inside it and then it rewinds it for you in the little car?
Yeah. Well, not the car, but I mean, yeah.
I had a little car where you put the VHS in.
I actually see VCRs pretty often. I go to a lot of vintage stores and like even toy stores and stuff that will carry retro and vintage stuff. People are trying to buy VCRs these days because VHS is back in. What, you know, anything nostalgic ends up selling. But wow, what ended up playing. So Ryan Sully sent us a very generous super chat. He said the Bo Dallas Howdy tape. Wow, it was amazing. Money in the Bank looking good. Six-man tag added with Orton and Cody versus Bloodline. Excited to see Jacob Fatu wrestle. Is this his first international match? Yes, if he wrestles, it will be. Florida Panthers are Stanley Cup champs. Cheers, SRS and Denise. Well, he sent an awful lot, and we've covered a lot of those points, but I want to cover at length what happened here. This was something, you know, when it first started, I didn't know how to feel. I was like, okay. And it was Uncle Howdy conducting an interview. And then it cuts right over to Bo Dallas. And they got right into the shit, Denise. They did not shy away from the shit. They said, oh, you're just mooching off your brother's legacy. You're just going to capitalize off of his death. You're exploiting him. How did you feel when he died? Oh, my God. And then Bo Dallas cut the promo of a lifetime. I mean, anybody that doubted that he could pull this off, this has to be a gigantic vote of confidence. He said that he grew up idolizing his brother. He wanted to be just like his brother. And they finally made it together. And I'm sure the fact that, you know, Bray got him hired back will probably be integrated. But he said, we were so close to taking over and doing things the way that we wanted, and then I lost him. And then he had mentioned about how they forgot all of us, meaning definitely Rowan, definitely Nikki. I mean, Nikki's, the elements of which Nikki that she can play off of, Denise, they never forgot about her. They didn't know about her. Her first Raw program was her walking around and her being surprised that Alexa Bliss even recognized her and knew who she was. If you remember back that far, she was like, I thought I was invisible. You know about me. You're acknowledging me. And then what happened? That split apart too. So that will play into things. Eric Rowan, well, without the Wyatt family, he was forgotten about. I can't speak to the Joe Gacy thing. Don't know how that will go. Dexter Lumis, where are all his homeboys at right now? They're all over TV. Where's he at? He's sitting at home. And then he said, we made them remember. Now, I'm sure there's a couple lines here I'm forgetting, but oh my God, this was phenomenal. And I have deep reservations over spooky lore, stuff like that. This was a phenomenal piece of work.
I think the reason why it hit the way that it did was because it was deep and it was a serious topic. You know, we're always out here talking about pro wrestling, right? And we get all of these weird stories. I mean, God, in pro wrestling, we've seen someone give birth to a hand. We've seen, you know, the craziest things, right? People get set on fire. All of these crazy things that you've seen in pro wrestling throughout the decades, right? And this is a situation where it's a real life thing. And I don't know off the top of my head when we've gotten something like this that sort of throws back to someone's real passing. And when Uncle Howdy was doing the interview, all we could see was the silhouette of somebody. And I kept thinking like, oh, like who's being interviewed, right? Like, I didn't know who was being interviewed. And then when it was revealed that it was Bo Dallas, I thought, oh, this is sort of trippy. The way that it's, you know, the Uncle Howdy character interviewing Bo Dallas, it's sort of a mind trip, right? But then when Bo Dallas starts to really open up about Bray, and when he opens up about all of what you just said right now, all of a sudden you're watching and it's almost like, you know, that this is something that's a storyline, right? Because this is what it is. This is what we're watching with pro wrestling. But you're almost watching it also like if you were watching this in just a real life conversation. I almost feel like I was watching Bo Dallas and everything he was saying was absolutely true. Like, this did not feel like just a character thing. This did not feel like just a storyline or a promo or anything like that. It felt like a real, like these were his real feelings, right? And obviously the way that he talked about it, you would imagine that would be his real feelings. And so that, I think, was the part that sort of, again, it was on television, but it was also real. Does that make sense? I don't know how to explain it.
That it was a very, very, like, great way to blur the lines. And Big Migs Gaming says, this Taylor Uncle Howdy promo hit me in the feels. Lost my cousin on Father's Day, and my dad was just diagnosed with early set dementia. Thanks for the laughs. Great wrestling recaps. I needed it. My friend, anytime you can have, if you manage to have a normal conversation with your father, please treasure that and extend it as long as you can. And I tell you, you won't regret it. You will never regret the time that you do spend with him. I can tell you that much from experience. But also, Tony says that Uncle Howdy Bo Dallas interview was chef's kiss. It was phenomenal. Again, I have heavy doubts when something like this debuts because I've seen so many attempts at, I have watched WWE screw up with Bray Wyatt and Wyatt contingent things for a decade now, Denise. I've watched them screw them up. Like, it's damn near like their priority. How can we screw this up? Well, right now it's going really good. And David Gold says, wasn't sure if the Wyatt sick would work because Bray's past booking, but after watching Bro's promo, I'm all in. That was some good stuff. I do not know why Pat wasn't on the show. David, to answer your question, says Fightful's a big reason I'm still a wrestling fan. Well, thank you so much.
I feel like part of what also made this work is that it was more psychological. And that's where you can get dark with it, because we know that the mind is a dangerous place. We know that people's minds are, you know, what real life situations shape the way you think and shape the way you feel. And I feel like that is something realistic when you're telling me this person is doing this, this, or that because of something that they went through. Okay. That's psychological. And that makes more sense to me than I'm going to freaking, I don't know, zap you with my hands or something or whatever. This is something that you can buy.
Yeah. I agree. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Get your super chat, get your humper chats in. We are heading down the home stretch. We got a lot of live integration here. We'll talk about the backstage stuff after this, but she cut a promo and Zelina interrupts. And listen, I like Zelina just fine from an in-ring perspective and all that stuff. And I thought she did great in the promo. I thought that she did
this
a
was her best promo, Sean. Oh, maybe she, a better one for that she's done.
She kicked ass on this promo. I thought that she was great. And she really needed to, because WWE has not given you a reason to want to see her compete for the title. She has not won a match this year. Why does this keep happening? And people will say,
let it happen.
I know. And like, listen, Piper Niven, it happened. AJ off of a loss, they made sense from a storyline perspective. Gable got 5 title shots. They at least made sense of it from a kayfabe perspective. Alba and Isla hadn't won in ages. It's specifically and very often happening in the women's division in WWE. Repeatedly. It's like, oh, here we go. Can't give them a win. Have her win on Speed or something, or Main Event, or what?
Speed's
something.
Still a thing?
Give her some wins. There. And listen, I feel the same thing on AEW as well. Like when I see Daniel Garcia saying, "Man, I'd really like that international title shot," I'm like, "Well, just go attack Will Ospreay. It worked for Brian Cage. What? Why aren't we making sense of this stuff? It's not real." It's scripted. You can script Zelina to win 1 or 2 matches. You could have an eliminator or a top contender match or something, literally anything. You've got Adam Pearce telling Drew McIntyre that he needs to earn his way into Money in the Bank after he got screwed out of the world title. But Zelina gets to roll up and be like, give me that title shot. And it's okay. And listen, that ain't a personal attack on Zelina. She doesn't write the show. She doesn't book the show. All I need is her to win like once, make some sense of it. Because had that happen, I would think that this already fantastic promo that she did was even better, because I would want to see it a little bit more. I don't think she's going to win it, but damn, man, it's very frustrating. Like, wins and losses should matter. It should be.
I agree with you, because that's how I felt about a lot of this other stuff that you just mentioned. So yeah, I agree with that. I echo the same sentiment. As for Zelina Vega, I had no idea she had this in her. I'll be real with you. I was very surprised with her today. I thought, what? She had that in her? I thought she delivered her line so good. All of the jokes hit, at least for me. I thought they did. She got some good reactions from the people. She got a chant over with Sloppy Seconds. We had people chanting Sloppy Seconds today on Raw. That was funny. I thought the part where she said that Liv was chasing Dirty D while she was chasing a championship, I thought that was really good. I thought that Zelina did a great job of coming out and saying all of, because we all love the Liv and Dom storyline, right? But it's super scandalous. And she came out and she just pointed it out like, this is a scandalous story. Like, look at you. Look what you're doing. Trying to get her Rhea Sloppy Seconds with a Dirty D. I didn't even realize they could say that, but it's a play on words. It works, all of that, whatever. So I was really impressed with the way that this part went down.
I think she's always had like a really good delivery and cadence and tone with her promos. Like, I haven't seen a lot of Zelina promos where I'm like, man, that was bad. Like anything like that. It's just, they hadn't in so many situations booked her in places to where she should be cutting these types of promos. And like, I've got her last 16 matches pulled up, Denise.
Ooh.
Her last 16 matches. The 16th of which was the Rhea Ripley title match. she lost that. Yes. That's on TV, 16 matches in that year or so.
Okay.
Since then, she lost the Money in the Bank ladder match, which was effectively a top contender match, right? She lost against Io Sky in a title match. So that's another opportunity. She lost in the Royal Rumble. You know, everybody gets in there. No big deal. She lost an Elimination Chamber qualifier to Tiffany Stratton, so she couldn't get in the top contender match there. She lost in the Last Chance Battle Royal, which is another chance to get into a top contender match. Then she loses a Money in the Bank qualifier last week, but then gets to walk up and get a title shot. And I'm like, you could just give her a win. Give her a win, for the love of God. Help her. Help this woman. Malik Black says Liv's promo is missing a Hawk to a reference, but buddy, she had one that went viral the other day. So backstage, they are in the Judgment Day clubhouse, and Dominic is saying, yeah, Liv sent us all these gifts. And in that promo, Liv said, I hope you enjoyed the gifts, but I hope you enjoyed the texts more. And we had seen Dom backstage showing it to Judgment Day and then being like, wow. Now listen, this type of storyline, most situations wouldn't really have a problem with, wouldn't really care about, like, entertainment can reflect reality. I think it is very weird and tone deaf for WWE to run this specific element of this storyline when Vince McMahon is being sued and that specific thing is referenced in the lawsuit and alleged in the lawsuit of him showing a bunch of people somebody else's personal pictures. It seemed like this story did not need that element of it. And listen, I know I'll get the snowflake, blah, blah, blah. This, it is a very specific thing that somebody in the writing room was like, should have been like, hey, you, this part, we should probably leave this shit out. Should probably not do this for any number of reasons. It doesn't play well, I don't think.
Well, Triple H said he didn't even read it, so.
Yeah, I believe that. I certainly believe that based on what I saw here. But it's like, come on. Like, now, I listen, the things that are alleged of Vince McMahon, there's so much wild shit that, like, there are some elements you're going to naturally run into, and some people in the creative room will be like, damn, I forgot that some of that was even in there because it's so, so vast. And I'm just like, man, didn't need that. And yeah, didn't need that. But backstage, Liv... throughout, so in that Zelina promo, it devolves and Rey Mysterio and Dominic end up out there. So this all ties in together. And Rey pulls Liv away and Dominic shoves him down. And it's like, Dominic just hates his dad. That's it. And she's like, oh my God, you're my hero. He's like, no, my dad's just a deadbeat. And she's like, hell yeah, he is. And she goes, you know what? I got your friends a title shot tonight. And Dom's like, okay, fine. And R-Truth rolls up. I love it. He's like, that guy looks like a hero. He looks like a reluctant hero. And I was like, okay. He agrees to give JD and Finn a title shot. Miz is not happy because he's been on commentary the whole night. That leaves Michael Cole to do it on his own. What did you make of all this peripheral stuff? I know I just went all over the place, but man, if we were here covering that in order, we'd probably be here for an extra hour.
Yeah, I was going to say there was a lot. I mean, honestly, I've been very entertained with this storyline. I thought that the little bit where where R-Truth was confusing Liv Morgan as Carmella was very funny. I was about to say Carmella too. Liv Morgan, she is doing so much nice stuff for Dominic. And I feel like Dominic is subconsciously in love with Liv Morgan, and I feel like he's fighting his feelings, and I kind of like that because I do think that he pushed his dad not just because he's a deadbeat, but because he saw him put his hands on Liv Morgan. So I'm gonna take it, and if he's not, then that's gonna be hilarious. But I like it. I like that subconsciously we're seeing Dominic sort of, I think, fall for Liv Morgan. I think this is where that's going, because at the end of the day, I want to see Liv Morgan break his heart, and it's gonna be great.
So Liv did get them a title shot, and I love how they played into this. Damian goes into the clubhouse, and Liv emerges, and it's just Finn in there. And Finn's like, hey, listen, she got us a title shot, and she got Dom a match with Rey next week. And they won the tag titles, thanks to Liv Morgan, who distracted R-Truth. Now, first off, an awful lot of distractions, run-ins, beatdowns after on these matches that we saw, like a ton of them. The Gable win, the Braun Breaker match, the tag match had one. The first Money in the Bank. I'm like, very, very little clean stuff here. But K775 says Finn is costing Priest the title at Money in the Bank. Do you think we could see that? And what did you think of Awesome Truce title reign finally being over? I'm very happy about that.
I'm happy too. But then on the other side, I'm like, oh, it's Finn and JD as champions. It's kind of like, which one's the lesser of two evils? I guess I'll take Finn and JD. But I was so glad that we were done with Finn and Priest as champions. And lesser then we're back of two to evils? Here.
You mean like between this?
Oh my God. Every week, Sean, I'm done with these photos.
Is it between this and this?
I'm going to log into the Fightful account and delete them.
So they R-Truth said he's got a huge head. Michael Cole said a Klingon-like head.
So now they have, whatever. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. The point is that it's not like I'm out here jumping over the moon because, oh my God, Finn and JD are champions. No, I know exactly what this is going to look like. And I know that I'm going to get tired just the way that I did about R-Truth and Miz. So I'm really not screaming or jumping for excitement right now with the men's tag team division.
Damn. Toby says, Sean, I love seeing you on Busted Open and Denise being on more too. If they get a 24/7 deal, do you guys see your roles in this network expanding, or would you be interested in it? I don't work with Sirius. Denise does. I am flattered every time I'm asked on Busted Open. I would love to do more stuff with them, but right now Fightful's my priority. Denise, you're doing really great there. Mark Henry keeps putting you over every time I talk to him.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, that makes me happy. Oh, yeah.
He likes you an awful lot.
Thank you. That's good to know. Yeah, I'm always open to anything. You know me, I got bills to pay.
And honestly, anything Dave LaGreca asks me to do, I am happy to do. I love that guy. He's wonderful. I mean, I like Thunder Rosa an awful lot as well. But guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. We're going to have a ton of coverage on FightfulSelect.com this week. Denise, where can they find you? What do you got going on?
All right, so starting July, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing this. Starting July, I'm going to be putting up daily videos where I'm covering each and every single SummerSlam ever. Okay. I just like to add more to my plate, so I'm really excited about it. So every day in July, you will be seeing a SummerSlam video go up there. So if you're into nostalgia, if you're into any of that, that'll be up there on the channel on top of all of my normal content that I'm posting. So youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. I've been saying this also, but on Instagram, I'm posting my reactions to the shows that I watch. So if you guys are into that, you can also check that out at _Denise Salcedo.
Guys, I'm in the comment section each day here on YouTube. I've been posting daily news updates on TikTok for Fightful. Check that out as well. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We have a Discord on our FightfulSelect.com service. And please check out Fightful Overbooked. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Jeremy Lambert and Joel Pearl have a phenomenal morning show that you guys should check out called In the Weeds. We would greatly appreciate if you all did that. I want to thank our moderator, Luis, today. The last really week has been a very busy one here at Fightful. I am back on Sunday for a solo Forbidden Door review. Until next time, guys, we're out.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.